I'm going to talk to you. I've been looking forward to sharing this. So this year I've been on somewhat of a quest, and I'll talk to you about that quest this morning. Now, I don't know what image comes to your mind when you think of someone being on a quest. At the start of this year, we went on a family holiday. We stayed in some friend's house in Blockhouse Bay in Auckland. Now, what happens, I don't know about your family, but in my family, in the holidays, wake-up time goes from like 7:30 to 8:30 to 9:30 to 10. There's a lot of teenagers sleeping in. There's even like 11 o'clock. Wake up, Jet. There's that kind of thing goes on. I still wake up 5:30, 6 o'clock. So I've got like my clock's like set, and I actually quite like it. I've got like a third of my waking daytime. There's no one else around. So we're in Blockhouse Bay in Auckland, and we were about two blocks from a really nice little inlet. So in the mornings, I'd kind of take a little walk, I'd go sit, and it was the start of the year. And at the start of the year, when you've got time, you sit and you reflect, and I was thinking about the year that had been and the year that was coming. And I was talking to God about what had happened in the year, what I'd love to see happening in the year. And I was reading the Word, and I read these words from Jesus, and this kind of shaped my quest. So this is Mark 4, 3 to 8. This is God speaking. Here we go. A sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road. The birds came, ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil. And immediately it sprang up. But because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it scorched because it had no root and withered away. Other seed fell on the thorns. The thorns came up, choked it, and yielded no crop. Other seeds fell on the good soil. As they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop in productivity, produced 30, 60, and 100 times as much. Now, I know often you've heard this before. It's a real common parable that Jesus spoke about. And it's real easy to go, all right, let's talk about the weeds. Let's talk about, because I know you've probably read the next bit. Jesus said, like, worries and stresses and things like that, they'll take away this ability for things to multiply. But there's that bit at the end where Jesus says some of the seed fell on good soil. And you know how I often think when people talk about the story of Jesus walking on water, then Peter, he gets out of the boat, he sees Jesus, can I go for a walk? Jesus gives the nod, he's walking, and then he looks at the storm and he starts to focus on the storm and not Jesus, and he starts to sink. And we can talk about focusing on the storm and him sinking, but forget about the fact that he walked on water. So this morning, instead of looking at the fact that, well, there are things that will rob away this multiplication, there's a multiplication, and that is a massive thing. So first of all, a little bit of context as well, because if you go down two, three, so then they have Jesus and the disciples, they have a bit of a chit-chat about what does this mean, the meaning of parables. Then Jesus says this in verse 13. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? If you heard that, would you understand that parable? I wouldn't. He said, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? What? So Jesus is saying this parable is so important that if you don't get this one, the others aren't going to make sense either. This is a key. This is like the reference key on the map. If you get this one, the others will make more sense. So this is a key one. So I'm sitting there, Blockhouse Bay, start of the year, and I'm talking to God. And I'm saying, God, Holy Spirit reveals all truth. This is what I want you to reveal to me. In this kingdom that I'm a part of, and I know I'm a part of it, I get that there's two kingdoms. Colossians 1:13, for he rescued, past tense, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Transferred. So this is happening. When you get saved, when you put your life in Jesus' hands, you're basically transferring kingdoms into God's kingdom, of which I'm now a part of. We have the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13. So in this kingdom, Jesus is saying, this is what it looks like. This is what this kingdom looks like. Now, full disclosure, I'm going to challenge some things this morning that have been challenged in me, and they might be challenged in you, but that's fun, right? Okay, so Jesus is saying, in this kingdom, things are made to grow. Not just grow, but multiply by 30, 60, and 100 times. what? So I'm sitting there in Auckland going, I don't see that in my life. I'd actually quite like to see something multiply by 30, 60, 100. I'd like to see, what are we talking about? I'd like to see my relationships with my kids, with my wife, multiply by 30, 60, 100. That's like a massive return, right? That's like 3,000, 6,000, 10,000% return. Like regular return, you'd be like, oh, 5% return. That was a great increase. But like 3,000, 6,000, 10,000, like that's it. That, if you need to get your calculators out, that's the... But I did actually get my calculator out to make sure I was right. That's a decent rate of return, but I'd like to see that in my relationships. I'd like to see that in my... spiritually, how I pray for someone prophetically. What if at the end of a season, whether it's 12 months or shorter, what if prophetically I'm 30% or 60 times or 100 times more accurate or words of knowledge? And let's go further. What about my business and my work? What about my finances? What if they multiply by 30, 60, 100? What if praying for healing for someone? Hey, we're praying for snivelly noses at the start of the year, but by the end of the year, we got COVID down. What if? So this is my quest. This is my question. And I'm going to talk about this morning. Now, I know Jesus said, he kind of gave some of the reasons why, but one of the things he said is the reasons why there was no multiplication is because they didn't have a firm root in themselves. And this morning, I want to talk to you about one of the things God has been showing me to do with that. Side note, I'm not seeing 30, 60, 90 in every year of my life, probably in many. I don't think I've calculated it, but I feel like in the last 12 months, I've met a lot of people for coffee and said, tell me what you think. And honestly, some of those answers have been great. And I feel like I'm on a journey. I want to share with you this morning some of the things God's been teaching me. So, because I've spent a significant amount of time showing videos of people pretending to ride horses and to talk about me, my quest, here we go. Strap on. We're going to go fast. If you need a guy, like listen to it later, go back at the Bible verses. Here we go. So let's go. This is some things that I've discovered. Beginnings, there are lots more things I could talk about, but here's one thing we're going to go for. If you would like to see multiplication in your life, because in this kingdom there's multiplication. Psalm 103 verse 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Everything within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits. Do not forget his benefits. Don't forget them. Bring them to mind. That's a massive, this is a part of it. There's like a massive key here. But I want to talk to you about his benefits. His benefits. There are actually benefits in following Jesus. Yeah, well, what kind of benefits? Well, actually, thank you very much, David. He wrote them down. A bunch of them. Who pardons all your guilt? If you ever have a sense of, I am not good enough, if you carry that round, well, it's been pardoned. Who heals all your diseases? Okay, well, that's a really big benefit if you're carrying anything. Who redeems your life from the pit? Jesus turns your life around in an incredible way. Whole thing in every way. Who heals your who crowns you with favor and compassion? I love that. Doesn't just give you favor and compassion, but crowns you with favor and compassion. Crowns relate to authority. You have an authority over favor, you have an authority over compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things, no matter what age you are, satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We could do a whole sermon on eagles, we're not going to. Eagles like shed every few years, they're like featherless, bald completely, then it grows back and they go stronger than when they were young. Like it's an incredible thing. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. Benefits, benefits, benefits. Jesus died to pay the price for your sin and so much more. Now, some of us go, yep, Jesus died to pay the price for my sin. That is great. But if Jesus paid for it, what else has he paid for? I'm purposely pushing some buttons here this morning. So if your buttons are being pushed, then successful. One of the foundations I believe that Jesus is talking about in the parable of the sower that affects our ability to understand every is the knowledge that God is good. He wants to and will do good things in your life. Unfortunately, many of us deep down, believe that God actually doesn't really have good in mind for us. Somehow he wants to rip us off. Somehow he wants to use us. Or okay, if I really give my life over to him, it's going to be really bad. I remember in my life when I was younger, I was like, okay, I feel like I just need to surrender everything to God. But if I do, he's probably going to send me to Africa. No joke. Like now, would I like to go to Africa? I've never been. I'd like to go to, yeah. Thank you, Erica. Thank you. What's wrong with it? I think that now, but not when I was younger. I thought God was going to send me to Africa and I didn't want to go to Africa. But what was beneath that deep down was that sense that God does not have good in store for me. God's plans for me are not good. He actually wants to rip me off. And one of the reasons we don't see, and I think this is like a foundational reason that we don't see the goodness of God in our lives so often, is because we don't believe that God is good. This morning, I want to speak against that inner voice that we have inside of us that says, God is not good. God is not good to me. What do those lies look like? Because sometimes we Christianize those lies. One of those lies is this. One of those lies says, hey, I'm just here to serve. I'm the lowest servant because it seems really pious. It seems really spiritual to say, I'm just here to be used. Just use me, Lord. Abuse me. Do whatever until we die. But this is what the word says, Romans 5:17. How much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. What if instead of being this person who doesn't think they deserve, you recognize that Jesus paid for you to reign in life? What if you were saved to reign? What if you were saved instead of cowering, but to speak life over your neighbors, over your communities? To see someone sick and speak healing into their lives? To bless people financially. That's the opposite. That's reigning in life. This morning, I want to come against another lie, an inner voice that says, well, if part of following Jesus is my life's going to be garbage. It's going to be the worst. There's good things I'd like to do, but God's going to get me to do these dumb things. But that's okay, because one day I'll be in paradise. Deep down, is it what we believe? Because my Bible says we're a royal priesthood. We're not garbage. We're not a doormat. My Bible says when we face trouble, this is what happens. God sets a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Sets a table, a feast in times of troubles. Well, that doesn't make sense. This morning, I want to come against the lie that says God wants us broken, broke or barren. Some of us believe that deep down. When scripture says he wants to do and will do exceedingly abundantly more than we can dream of or imagine, Ephesians 3:20. But if we have this belief in our heart, Jesus said, what you believe, you'll see. And if you believe God wants you broke, broken or barren, then as you believe, you'll see you're actually putting faith in a lie. And the way the world works is you'll see what you believe. So let's call it what it is, a lie. I also want to speak against this morning anyone who deep down says, I won't see the goodness of God because I'm not good enough. Because if you knew my spiritual life, I haven't opened a Bible since 1997. Well, guess what? Here's a great news flash for you. You all need to hear. You're not good enough. But you don't have to be, because Jesus is. God looks at us like Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not about you qualifying. And I don't want to come across as harsh, but if you still live that, if you still believe that, then tell yourself the truth and own the truth. Because you believing the lie doesn't only rip you off, but it's ripping off the people around you. God wants you believing the truth. He wants you to know the truth of what he says about you and live out of it, because then you will see multiplication. Okay, I want to speak to you this morning a little bit from the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son, I'm not going to tell it. The story of the prodigal son, homework, Luke 15, is one that's impacted my life probably more than any other. So the story of the prodigal son, if you haven't read it for a while and you think, well, it's about a guy who goes bad and then he repents and turns around, I encourage you to read it again, because it's not. It's the worst repentance in the history of the human. Like, it's terrible. The dude was hungry. And if you've got a teenager, you'll know that when they're hungry, their one mission is to get fed. So this dude was hungry. He knew he had to fix the I'm hungry problem. He wasn't repenting. but it is a story about a good, good father who never gave up and never stopped loving. It is a story about two sons. One of the boys acted like an orphan. He took what he could get and he left, but he eventually discovered he wasn't an orphan, he was a son. And the other son thought he was a servant. Check out what he said. He said, "Father, I've worked in your fields every day. Every day I've worked in your fields." And the father said to him, and this is massive, he said to him, "Son, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. All that I have is yours." He's not just saying it to the son. This is a message from God to us. What if God is saying, "All that I have is yours"? That is a powerful and world-changing statement. All that I have is yours. Own it. Own that one. Wow, that's incredible. This son had an inheritance, but he never saw it because he acted like a servant who didn't deserve. We're saved to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, let me clarify, because I know when you say things like that, you always have these things in the back of your mind, like, but. Am I saying we shouldn't put the chairs out before church? Is this what I'm saying? Am I saying that we shouldn't come down here and paint kids' faces for 3 hours yesterday? Is that what I'm saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying take the most humble seat at the table because you choose to, because that's love overflowing, not because deep down you believe that's all you deserve. That's choosing. That's choosing to love. And Jesus demonstrated that choice, and he's the King of Kings who chose to love. He didn't wash the disciples' feet because he thought he was rubbish. He washed the disciples' feet out of love and to show them what love is. Am I trying to push buttons? Yes. Am I saying part of the Christian faith is you get stuff? And I want you to hear me really clearly on this, because this has been a lot of years working through. And am I saying getting stuff is part of the Christian faith? Yes, 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 and yes. We are made to be filled to overflow, not just spiritually, but physically. We don't just serve God as an idea, but God affects our world in physical, material, and very real ways. John 7:38, whoever believes in Jesus, streams of living water will flow out of you. Streams of living water will flow out of you. It's a powerful thing, right? That affects you not just spiritually, because sometimes we try and spiritualize the Bible and take it out of the physical, real reality world. It's everything. Streams of living water will flow out of you. Our Father is a good, good Father, but sometimes I think the greatest challenge of living the Christian life is actually learning to receive. We think it's overcoming sin, but Jesus actually dealt with that in a major way, separate sermon, separate day. But learning to receive is a massive, massive thing. It's so big to God. Check this out, 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. That is a massive verse. Part of the role of the Holy Spirit, Jesus explained it as well, but part of the role of the Holy Spirit, why did God give the Holy Spirit? Well, here's a key thing. So that we would know the things freely given to us by God. God knew it would be hard, so he put himself inside of us so he could say, here's the things Jesus paid for that you need to learn to receive. 3 John 1 verse 2, I pray that you would prosper in every way, inside and out. The reason I'm talking about this is because so many of us, and this has been a process, it's been a massive process for me, and I'm still learning. But the way we see God, the way we see our goodness, will affect how we receive from God. It'll affect how we impact our world. If we believe that God has no good and really wants to do no good and through our lives, then we won't see him do no good, because we're putting faith in a lie. But the truth is, oh, God is a good, good Father. He is a good, good Father. If you want to see multiplication in your life, if you want to be the kind of person, because this, and this is the twist, right? Because our world is so me, 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 me. Whenever anyone talks about the blessings of God, it just comes across as, well, that's just blah, blah, it's all for yourself, prosperity gospel. This is the Jesus gospel, and we don't measure our theology by the abuses of it. Bill Johnson. So the reason why God wants to bless us is not just for us. The reason God wants to do things through us is so we can meet our neighbor and say, hey, you're unwell? Let me pray for you. The reason why we want God to bless us is so we can say, hey, Kapiti Impact Church, you need a youth pastor and a children's pastor, and hey, why not a champions pastor? I'll pray for all of those. Wouldn't you like to see revival among the retireds of Kapiti? Because we've got enough retireds. Wouldn't that be incredible? Let's have a champions pastor. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I'm doing all right. I've got a portfolio of $5 million, blah, 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 blah. Not me. I don't think that. But if you do, what if you had a portfolio of $20 million and you were able to do that? And instead of sponsoring one World Vision child, you sponsored a village. See, it's not about you. It's not about you. But does this mean you might have a nicer car? Actually, yes, because we need to hit that one as well, because that's another reflection. People are like, oh, I'm just a vessel. Well, God's a good father, more than you think you're a vessel, and he does want to bless your life. He does want your family life, these physical material things, to go well because he's good. I get that because I'm a dad, and I want the best for my kids, and that's our model, and I'm a bad dad compared to God. That's like, yeah, scripture. There we go. Jesus said it. You guys, you're bad dads. What do you call dads? Evil. There we go. It begins with learning to receive and understanding that Jesus paid the price so we'd no longer be measured by our deeds, but by his. So this is my quest. This is my quest. Shutting down the lies that say we don't deserve to be blessed by God. Shutting down the lie that says, oh, it's just a spiritual thing, it's not a physical thing. And know what if you're called not to be a servant, but to reign in life, to bless the people around you physically and spiritually. So here's what we want to do this morning. I want to read this verse, this Bible verse one more time, because I think it's really significant, right? And this is a journey, we're not there. I'm going to read Psalm 103 verse 5. If you need some of these verses, then listen back. It's on video. And write them down, because we need to own these. I heard, read yesterday, that a pastor of a big church in Singapore gets up every morning, Joseph Prince, and he says, some mornings I read, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'll say it to myself 30 times, because he's confessing the truth over his life. That's how we're renewed. That's how we're renewed, how our minds are renewed. So I want to do this. I want to finish by reading Psalm 103, and then I want to do something a little different. I've asked Andrea, Alan Samuels, and Glenn to come and speak a blessing over us this morning. My wife has this amazing ability to speak truth and shut out lies. Alan Samuels has an amazing ability to pray multiplication prayers, especially to do with spiritually. And Glenn has an amazing testimony. Just talk to him about his testimony sometime. God transformed his life, and I'd have asked him to pray specifically financially. God wants you to prosper on the inside and outside. He wants your life, your relationships, every part of your work, your family, yes, your finances, to go well, to prosper on the inside and out. He wants things to multiply. And let's flip it upside down. It's not just for you. It's for the people around you. It's for your community. So we want to speak a blessing over you this morning, because we need to receive that. And as Andre has highlighted so well, let's just hear those lies and shut them down. If we believe things about us or things about God which aren't true, let's shut them down, because in some ways, those kind of, they block our ability to receive. So Andrea and Glenn and Alan, could you come up?
God, I just thank you for truth. I thank you that you love us despite ourselves. And Lord, I just want to speak over each life here, each heart and each mind. Lord, that we're holding on to pain or hurt, where we have lies that we've believed, some of us since birth. Some of us since our childhood of just growing up trying to survive, trying to protect ourselves. Some of us have picked up lies from just painful situations all throughout our life. And those lies for some of us have actually helped us get through some tough things. And they've been a friend to us, to protect us, keep us safe. Lord, I just pray now that you would expose those lies for what they really are. Lord, that that friend would be seen now as an enemy to really receiving from you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would have the ability to exchange that lie for your truth. We speak that over lives now, Lord, even if it's just a beginning of the journey. Lord, I speak unveiling, Lord, that your spirit will bring revelation to us, that we would know that there's a lie there, and we would really quickly and easily be able to just release that to you in Jesus' name and receive the truth that we are righteous, that we are holy in your sight because of Jesus, that we're sons and daughters, that we're loved. So Lord, I speak in Jesus' name a cutting off and a breaking down of those lies. Lord, reveal them for what they are. Let us have that ability to go, yep, I don't want that anymore. I just don't want it. I don't receive that lie anymore. I let it go in Jesus' name and I receive the truth. And I pray healing would come to hearts and minds and spirits. Lord, that things would be broken off people even now in Jesus' name, that we could receive. Amen.
Hello, good morning. My name is Alan. Just want to read something to you from Bill Johnson. This church loves Bill Johnson, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. It says, our greatest challenge often have to do with learning to walk in humility while experiencing ever-increasing significance and influence. In reaction, many believers have chosen insignificance simply because it's easier to manage a life from which little is expected. Tragically, the church usually calls this humility. So I just want to speak to you from this, that sometimes many of us, we go through life and then there are certain webs that come across our eyes. And if they grow in front of us for too long, we get used to it. It's possible, yeah? In the past 9 months, my investments have grown 30 times. Yesterday, I was in discussion with... Yeah, hallelujah. Awesome. Praise God, right? That's not me, yeah? I'm not that good. I'm good, but I'm not that good. So yesterday, I was in discussion with a friend, quite a senior guy from ANZ Bank before. So he was talking about ideas, and the basic idea is, why not start a bank and call it a Christian bank? And we will give 8% interest a year. That beats everything. Hallelujah? Amen, yeah. Now, we call it Capital Impact Bank. Yeah, amen, yeah. Why not to Christians? Muslims have that. So why not we have financial empowerment and do things in the name of Jesus, to build this society up. Amen? Yeah, 30, 60, 100-fold. Why not? Father, we just want to come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up our hands to heaven and we say, Lord, in authority of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you have caused us to be a blessing. You have blessed us to be a blessing. Lord, we thank you that you have called us and you have given us the abundant life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. Financial empowerment, spiritual empowerment, Father. Father, we call forth into the deep recesses of our heart. We even call forth into the past where treasures have been buried deep, deep, deep down. Father, we call that these things that we have lost, Lord, that you would come and restore them, the years the worms have stolen, Lord. that, Father, if we catch the devil stealing, he has to repay seven times in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we speak to our spirits, we anoint our ears, we anoint our eyes to see into the spiritual realms, the goodness that you have in heaven for us, so that we can see, our eyes are open to see what we can pull down from heaven so that there is heaven on earth. We live in a world that we create, that you have caused us to create, and then we walk in it, Lord. We do not walk after the kingdom of this earth. We walk after the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
You know, what I had in my head before, God's just changed. So what God does that a lot. I had it all sorted. 30-second little story. So some of you know that we work in finance and have done soon to be 20 years. And I was challenged 18, 19 years ago by a Christian businessman who asked me what my vision was for our business and our income. You know, it's pretty good question when he asked, what is your vision for your income and your business? And I told him, and he laughed and said, my vision was too small. My vision. He taught me that our income, which is God's income, that he gives me the ability to earn, is for about the kingdom, not for Glenn. Yes, we enjoy things on the way. And so he challenged, that is my daily challenge is, I often think about that as my challenge is, so if I earn another, put your own figure in, it doesn't matter, what can we do with that, God? So that was a slap in the face for me 19 years ago with a very small vision and my very small understanding about money. What I believe God wants me to do this morning, church, is that he actually wants to prophetically release. So I'm going to use the word release this morning. And you just look, in the Bible, money is talked about over 2,300 times. God knows it's going to be a wee challenge for us. Okay? Certainly is for me. 2,300 times. I just really feel that the Holy Spirit this morning wants to release. So I just encourage you to think about who you are, where you are, whether you are 14, whether you are 93, it doesn't matter. Your journey, it doesn't matter what your income is, what you've got in your savings account. I really just want to encourage you this morning that God is wanting to release afresh. He's wanting to, thank you, Lord. Look, I just really believe Father God is just, this morning he's just saying to you, church, do not be limited with your thinking about your income or your opportunities or your retirement fund or your superannuation or your KiwiSaver or your student loan. That is limited thinking. But to be thinking, to be asking the Lord, to be coming to the Lord and getting to know his character, his word, because he will guide you on how to multiply. Some of you will be called to make many, many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And some of you be called to serve and spend those hundreds of thousands of dollars. But we're all called and we're all given a gift. And this morning I speak release into every corner of this room. Prophetically speak release. If you have right now got a knot in your stomach, then just bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, I open up my hands this morning before you. This is you. Use me to generate an income. Use me, Lord, in whatever way you're calling me to be part of this network, part of this family, to reach this community. Use me. Make me a vessel. Help me earn some money. Give me a skill, whatever it may be. Father God, in Jesus' name, we release this morning afresh into each and every person here a new way of looking at money, a fresh way. Just wait. Thank you, Lord. Share money, da 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 da. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord. There are some people here this morning that through how they were their upbringing, that they've got this real bind, this real insecurity about money. And I just really want to encourage you, if you've got this real, this fear, this lack, this scarcity of perhaps how you grew up or what your parents modeled to you, or you've had a financial scare in the path, to be walking with a confidence, say, okay, God, I'm free, I'm new, I'm yours today. What can we do? What do you want me to do? How can I multiply what you've given me? Today. If that's you, take that opportunity in your own way to just come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness on blocking that off and ask. I mean, I can see a picture now of, like, you've seen them on TV, of like a flower that's opening afresh. That is you today, afresh and abundant, that God is wanting to use you and you and you and you. For those of you, thank you, Lord. For those of you that are retired, God is just putting on my mind, you have a wealth, no pun intended, a wealth of knowledge of how to use money wisely and for his kingdom. Ask God to show you how to come around others and how that you can walk with them and make good, wise decisions. Thank you, Jesus. So church, as we go this morning, I'll hang back to Mark, as we go this morning, prophetically I speak, release of finances, release of, thank you, entrepreneurial ideas. Guys, entrepreneurial ideas. For some of you right there, there are entrepreneurs in your group. Fuel it. Read. Find people that will journey with you. Pray about it. God is into raising up entrepreneurs. Thank you, Jesus. Shout out money, yada, yada, yada. Thank you, Lord. You young people at school, dream big. Dream big. Not just can I get through NCEA. Dream big. God, how will you use me? How will you use me? How will you use me? There are people in this room here that employ staff, that are responsible for teams and for people. Use your God-given gifts to guide them, to encourage them, to lead them, to see money as a gift. You're called into business. Those of you that are managers and team managers and CEOs and GMs, you're called into business for a reason. Yes, it's to make a profit for your employer, but you have the ability to affect your staff. You too. Every person you touch, you have the ability to affect. And if you're here leaving today and think, well, that was all very nice, but I don't quite see how that fits me. No, 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 no. Take the release and go to God and say, how can you use me, Lord? Because God doesn't run out of money. We just need to know how to use it, don't we, Cheryl? We need to know how to seek him, know his heart, and know his character, and ask him to apply it and multiply it. And there'll be some pain with that, because as God trusts you with more, it becomes a big task. But some of you in this room are called to generate and make a lot of money for the kingdom.
And just as he was speaking, I thought, multiplication also, I'm hearing the Lord say, multiplication in peace and joy. That whatever situation you find yourself in, if you're at home with little ones and you're just trying to get through the day, if you have issues in your life where you're just trying to get through the day, I speak a multiplication of his peace and his joy in your life, wherever, whenever, all day long, all night long, safe, sound sleep, deep peace that passes all understanding, joy, no matter what. Like, you wake up and go, I don't even know why I'm feeling like this, but I'm okay about today. And then the next day, it's, I'm not only just okay about today, I'm actually excited about what Jesus is going to talk to me about today, what we're going to do together, what he's going to draw out of me, because life in abundance is all about mental health, physical health, spiritual health, financial health, all of that. So I speak mental health over all of you and an increase in mental health in Jesus' name.